brothers and sisters, it's it's funny. I've been on retreat all week, been silent. All of these thoughts in my head. It was a very good retreat. The temptation is to just take what you learned from the retreat and just like give it, right? But devoid of what the readings say. But luckily, I can see in the readings today that which I want to share. The first reading today, this indication of God of his great desire to make internal this giving of a law. Laws written on tablets of stone, the law being fulfilled outside of us, has little ability to transform our heart, which is exactly what God wants us to give. It isn't not burnt offerings of rams and cattle and birds. He wants our heart to come into conformity with his will. He wants us to be set free to doing what it is that we were created to do, to be made in his image and likeness, to act, to do as our Father does, to do as Jesus does, to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, made in the image and likeness of God, that we should reveal God in this world. An experience of love and sacrifice and gift should be ours. It should be our experience. And so he speaks about, in a prophetic way, of how he will, in the future, he will make a new covenant. And it will not be a covenant written on stone, but will be written on the very hearts of those who believe. The invitation of those who enter into this covenant, that his law will be written in their hearts. What does it mean? A ballpoint pen? You know, writes on skin pretty good, but I don't know about our hearts. That the law would come and dwell within us. We have to understand that we're getting close to the finishing of our Pentecost image here. Pentecost was first a Jewish feast. Do you know that? 50 days following Passover, a Jewish feast that depicted the giving of the law to the people after they had been drawn forth from Exodus, right? Crossing the Red Sea, brought to the mountain. God gives to them the gift of the law, Pentecost. But what we see is it being fulfilled in Jesus by the giving of the Holy Spirit to his people. So if we are to understand this new covenant of God, not being written on tablets of stone, but being written in our heart, it has everything to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to us. That God would dwell within our hearts. That it would be our very self that is offered. That we would make a gift of ourself. We would sacrifice in the making of the gift of ourself. I say sacrifice because that's what love is, right? There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We will see the witness of that as we celebrate Jesus laying down his life for us. But the giving of the third person of the Holy Trinity to be poured out into our hearts, that this new covenant may be written within us, that we might truly enter into the conversion and transformation of what God's intention has always been. When we look at the gospel text today, this mysterious encounter with these Greeks that come and talk to, is it Philip from Bethsaida? Because probably he was good at Greek, and so they were talking to him in Greek, so then he translates, and hey, Andrew, hey, I got some Greeks here that want to see Jesus, and then they go tell Jesus. Why is Jesus all of a sudden like, now is the hour, right? Because this is the fulfillment of a prophetic thing. When the Gentiles begin coming to seek out Jesus, then it's signaled, now is the time for him to lay down his life. Because it will be his church that will go forth in the Holy Spirit that will proclaim Jesus to the Gentiles. It will not be Jesus proclaiming to the Gentiles. It will be his church, alive in the Spirit, redeemed and reconciled with the Father, that goes forth to proclaim to the Gentile world, to all of the nations. Remember, the word Gentiles just means gens, the peoples. It will be the church that goes forth. So Jesus recognizes in this moment, as the Greeks are wanting to come and see him, this now is the time. Now is the time. And now is the time of fulfillment. And he speaks about a seed. That a seed must die if it is going to produce fruit. To watch a seed, I think when we were in the second grade, third grade, we were all given lima beans. You guys remember this experiment from science class in third grade? Where you took a paper towel and a cup and you wrapped the lima bean in the paper towel and you stuck it in the cup and then you poured water in there and you had to change the water out because it got stinky if you didn't. But what you would do is at certain points you would look at the lima bean and open up the paper towel so you could see what was taking place. And the lima bean began to no longer look like a lima bean. It was beginning to be transformed and changed, and roots were coming out and a stem with leaves was coming out. It was being radically transformed. I don't remember us ever planting them in order to see the fruit, but the point was we could see this radical transformation that takes place when a seed enters the earth. It must die in order for life to come forth. This passage we see most fulfilled in Jesus, right? He's speaking about himself. He will go to his death. He will lay down his life, that life will come. The innocent one who is in communion with the Father from this very beginning has done nothing by his own, but everything in communion with the Father from the very beginning, laying down his life. And from that gift of laying down life, life comes. My brothers and sisters, we understand what Jesus has done for us. Apart from him, there is no salvation. He has brought his communion with the Father into the world so that being reconciled to him, we are reconciled with the Father. And so the recognition of our sin, the asking for forgiveness of sins, the recognition that we need a Lord and Savior to be a part of our life, to redeem us, to give to us communion with the Father, that we might enter in and share that. That by his death upon the cross, we would be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit, the first gift of those who are redeemed, to signal that they have become a new creation, sons and daughters of God. Jesus has done all of this, but our celebration of Lent is not for Jesus, it is for us. It is for us to enter into his passion. And what does that mean? We enter into his passion to save ourselves? No, my brothers and sisters, by Jesus we have been saved. By Jesus we have been washed clean. By Jesus we have received his communion with the Father as now our communion with the Father. But we enter into his passion. Why? Because it says in the scripture today that we're Jesus' servants. Where will his servants be? They will be exactly where he is. If you want to find my servants, look for them with me. And as I lay down my life, so my servants will lay down their life. Not to their redemption, but unto who they have been called to be. That we enter into that passion and we give ourselves away. Now, something very special, my brothers and sisters, I think it came as a fruit of my retreat. It's still very raw within my heart. But at a certain time in the retreat, my retreat master asked me to sit down and to write a letter to Jesus and explain to him, he already knows all of this stuff, but for me to write it down and to give it to him, all of the suffering that I endured as a child. All of the suffering I endured as a child. I grew up in a very good Catholic home. We have never had need for food. In fact, I was overly picky about the food that we had. I never had need for clothing. We went to church I wasn't physically abused by my mother or my father. And yet there was suffering. There was grave suffering in my childhood, my brothers and sisters. I was meant to feel shame in a very unhealthy way. And so this invitation on retreat to write out all of these things, to write out all of my pain and suffering, all up until I left home for the Navy, which was a whole other pain and suffering. To write it all out. And I wrote it once, and then I went back through, and I was like, oh, and I forgot about this. And I had to write that in. I was like, oh. And then it got done, and I presented it to the spiritual director, and I said, I kind of just put it as bullet points, because as I kept writing, there was more and more stuff, and I kept slipping it in between. And she said, well, as long as you can narrate it, I'll listen. And so I just narrated all of this pain and suffering to her. And she says, what is Jesus asking you to do with this? I said, he is asking me to bring him to the cross. He is asking me to bring it to the cross. Why? Because I am reconciled with the Father. I am a beloved Son of God who is filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm operating in the same way, and you are too in your redemption, to operate in the same way Jesus was operating in his life, and yet he went to the cross in order to give the gift of all of the pain and suffering for the redemption of the world. Where will you bring your pain and suffering, my brothers and sisters? Are you simply supposed to just forget about it? Are you simply supposed to say, well, I deserved it because I did this wrong as a child, or I did that wrong as a child? You know, pain and suffering comes from sin, and if we have sin in our life, let go of it, and you will remove from your life a lot of pain and suffering, okay? That's 101, right? Stop sinning, and some suffering that's a part of your life will go away, okay? It's simple. That's the pain and suffering we can eliminate from our life by just stop sinning, okay? But you live in a broken world. You live in a fallen world. You will continue to experience pain and suffering, and it will not be just because you did this or you did that. It will be because someone else did this or someone else did that, and you're experiencing the cause. What will you do with that pain and suffering? Is it just nothing? No, my brothers and sisters, what Jesus reveals to us is your pain and your suffering has value. Why? When we bring it to the cross. Because in the Holy Spirit, we are made one with him. Scripture says we can call God our Father. Why? Because the Spirit of the Son has been given to us. And we cry out from our very being, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit makes us one with the Son. And so when we come to the celebration of the Mass, why is it important? I mean, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, sure. But why do we come in the Mass, and why do we see that the cross of Jesus Christ is made present right here in this place? The one offering of himself to the Father is made present right here, right now. To give his bride, the church, the ability to be one with him in the offering of all that you are, my brothers and sisters. And see, this is the thing, pain and suffering, right? You say, well, that's the past, or I've numbed that. It's no longer a part of my life. I've tried to forget about that. My brothers and sisters, it's right here with you right now. The fingerprints of the pain and suffering that you have endured are all over you. They're all over me. What will you do with that? There's an answer. Make it one with him. And St. Paul speaks about, I make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. What? What is lacking? What is lacking is Paul making a free will offering of himself through him, with him, and in him to the Father. That's what's lacking. What's lacking in the suffering of Christ? Not for a lack of redemption for the world, but for your gift of all that you have endured. That value and worth can come from it, not in the suffering itself, but in the giving to God in Jesus Christ. When I was having this conversation with my spiritual director, I began to cry and weep because I realized in this moment that the suffering of my life, it could have meaning and value and worth. That there was someplace I could bring it, someplace, someone that I could give it to. And what happens when we bring it here? Well, let's talk about other things that happen here, right? This is the beauty of the Mass. It's all here. It's all here, right? What happens on the altar? Bread, right? Bread. There's sleeves of it in the back in there, and they're in a tin with wrapped in plastic and like things of 100. They look like Ritz crackers, you know, kind of all stuck in there. It's bread. But when that bread is placed on this altar, and when we ask the Holy Spirit to come down upon those gifts to transform them, a radical transformation takes place. Radical. That which was dead, that which was alone, that which was insufficient, becomes alive. It becomes radically sufficient. That which was bread now becomes the real presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. It's what we believe as Catholics. We believe the mystery. The mystery reveals us something. Here in this place, Good Friday, what do we come to the conclusion? We come to the conclusion that Jesus dies upon the cross. But here in this place is not just Good Friday, but Easter Sunday morning, in which we declare that he is risen from the dead. Radical transformation, don't you think? From dead to life. This is the radical transformation place, here, on this altar. Everything that is placed upon this altar, the Holy Spirit called upon it, upon bread, upon wine, upon you, upon me. Here's the place of transformation. What has God been able to do in the world with the gift of his Son, in his suffering and pain, for grace to come into the world, right? What an incredible gift. What an incredible, it is the greatest gift of all. It has radically transformed everything. And you and I get to share in it, not just in the receiving communion, but in the gift of your suffering. Here's the place of redemption. Here's the place to offer it. And it's not just the suffering of the past, because between today and next Sunday, are you going to suffer? Are you going to have heartache? Are you going to have difficulties and trials? Well, unless you somehow blink out of this world and come back and blink back in. As long as you're in this world, there will be suffering. Father, very motivational. I'm just telling the truth. But here's the good news. Where do you bring that suffering? You bring it here. Here, we, the body of Christ, come together in the gift of ourself. That your suffering, God doesn't want us to suffer. He's not saying, oh, you need to suffer more and this and that. But bring the suffering that you endure here. Because here it can have meaning. Just as the sufferings of Jesus offered to himself has absolute meaning for the redemption of all the world. Your suffering too, through him, with him, and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, made one in the Holy Spirit, and have life. I bear witness to you today that following that day on the retreat, when my spiritual director said, okay, what does he want you to do? He says, he wants me to offer it to him. He wants me to be one with him in the giving of myself and the Mass and offering. So that next morning I celebrated Mass alone in my cell there on retreat. I didn't see anything, I didn't hear anything, but I made a prayer in my heart to be present in that moment, to truly be present with all that I was, with all of the pain and suffering that I've ever endured, because I was just keeping it in a warehouse, trying to organize it, trying to just hide it away, right? All of a sudden the doors of the warehouse were wide open. I'm like, here it is, Lord. Here is everything. here is me. The truth of who I am, all that I've endured, here it is on the cross with your son. And I celebrated the Mass. And my brothers and sisters, from that day until now, they have been different. I don't know how to explain it. I came back and there are just things that are just different. For the rest of the retreat, it was basically like my spiritual director and I going back and forth of reaffirming like that this has actually happened. Something has happened within you. There's healing that's happened within you. Here, see this evidence. See this evidence. Because everything that's placed on that altar, my brothers and sisters, is transformed. If you don't place it on the altar, it cannot be transformed. This is the place of transformation. Make a gift of your pain and suffering. You're not supposed to be a warehouse of it. You're supposed to give it to the Lord and ask Him to bring something so beautiful from something that was so horrible. Because it seems that that's what our God does. He brings beauty from pain. He brings beauty from ugliness. So my intention was to have this prayer all written out for you and have it in the pew and you could be able to take some home with you and I'd reprint the programs in the back of the book and have it all in there, but I didn't get to. But it's going to go something like this. So as I say this out, I'll pause. You can kind of, just little phrases, do you want to repeat this in your heart? Because why are you here? Here, today, in this place Jesus is, right? I said that a few weeks ago, here, now, right? To make a gift to yourself. So this is how I imagine the prayer going. Here and now, Father. At the cross of your Son. Receive my heart broken. Why is it broken? Because it's offered. Holy Spirit made one. Your gift, your heart, one with the Son. By the power of the Holy Spirit, made one. All of our gifts drawn together in the Holy Spirit, made one. So again, here and now, Father, at the cross of your Son, receive my heart broken. Holy Spirit made one. From dark to light. From false to true. From death to life. Make all things new. Just a plea of our heart, my brothers and sisters. Everything of who we are, everything that was darkness, everything that was false, everything that was death. The invitation, placing it on the altar that God, in His great power, in His great mercy, would not let that be in vain. But the means for the transformation of the world when you through Him and with Him and in Him, make this offering of yourself. Fully in communion with God, not for our salvation because we have been redeemed by Jesus, but where Jesus is, His servants are. That darkness would become light in Him. That falseness would be made true. And that all death that has ever been a part of our life would become life in Him. There's a very powerful line in the Passion of the Christ. When he falls and his mom runs to meet him and help him up and he looks at his mother and he says, look, Mom, I make all things new. It's a quote from Revelation, by the way. The Lamb upon the throne, He makes all things new. Amen.